Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
AEW rides high in full gear. Hangman Page is the new AEW champion, and we're 1 week away from Survivor Series. Will there be a screw job? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. We are Canada's weekly dose of pro wrestling radio, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery, and coming at you on TSN Radio and across the iHeartRadio Talk Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and what a weekend it was as AEW delivers again. This time, a Full Gear pay-per-view last night, and that's where we're going to kick things off tonight with my chat with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Plus, I'll also ask Dave about the real-life drama between Charlotte and Becky, and can WWE resist doing a Survivor Series screwjob in their match? After that, I'll be joined by my midweek markout partner, Mark Andrada, to chat about Full Gear, but also look ahead to next weekend's Survivor Series pay-per-view. And we've also got a Full Gear throwback edition with two first-timers on Turnbuckle Trivia. That is all to come tonight, but hey, if tonight isn't enough, remember we have podcasts each and every day on our Patreon for only $1 a week, and they'll go right to your inbox. Just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and sign on up. A break, and then we're back with Meltzer after this. You're listening to Sunday night's main event.
When I'm on me boat, battling the waves, trying to gather me fish, it takes two important factors. A keen eye and a peeled ear. Me pappy told me, when you least expect it, expect it. And don't let a little choppy water get in your way. So when I pops the top of me Lake Effect IPA, I don't fret when the crest of a wave slaps me hard and I spill a little bit down me chin. I think of it as a favor, cause it's not too often out here that I gets to wash me beard. Go with the Lake Effect. It'll guide you right every time.
Lake Effect IPA, now available at an LCBO near you, the GLB retail store, and GreatLakesBeer.com.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
A big wrestling weekend for everyone out there, but in particular for my next guest. He's here for his regular spot, Dave Meltzer. Dave, I can't imagine yesterday for you seeing New Japan Battle in the Valley live, plus trying to figure out what was going on with Full Gear. That you sandwiched this in your viewing, correct?
I mean, we watched most of Full Gear live, or the first, you know, 2 hours, I guess, or so, and then we went to the New Japan show, and then we came back and watched the rest of Full Gear. So it was a long day. I knew going in it would be, and it was. It was just, I wish they were on separate days. It probably would have been best for New Japan to be on separate days, but that's how it worked.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the confusions that we're seeing now with WWE flip-flopping back and forth to Saturday and Sunday, and AEW doing so as well. It's kind of, I'm a little thrown by that, because even some of my guys were like, oh, I thought this was tomorrow as opposed to yesterday. But at least both shows were good for you yesterday. Let's start with Battle in the Valley. You know, how was attendance, taking into consideration, you know, we did have AEW running the same night?
Yeah, it was, I didn't get the exact number, but it looked to be about 1,500, maybe slightly more, as far as, like, they'll announce a paid number, which is probably a little bit lower, but not much. The last time they were there, it was almost sold out, and this time it was probably, probably a little over three quarters. So, it wasn't quite as big, but the ticket prices were very, very expensive. So,
right.
From a gate standpoint, I figure it was bigger than the first one.
A few notable things coming out of this. First of all, we got a debut. Bronson Reed, the former Bronson Reed, that is, debuting as Jonah. So it seems that New Japan is at least going to be one of his homes.
Yes, yes. I kind of knew that going in, and he kind of has alluded to that. Again, a lot of these guys may also work Impact.
Right.
Or AEW, because AEW and New Japan are, you know, they're pretty close. I mean, obviously Ishii's going to be working Wednesday's show, and Okada's going to be on a show soon, and you know, just a lot of different stuff going on. So but that'll be like him and Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy, you know, are newcomers to New Japan. I mean, New Japan's got a big roster. It's just hard to get people in Japan because it's almost impossible to get people working visas right now. This pandemic, you know, has probably hurt New Japan more than any company.
Yeah, and you touched on everyone that I have on my list here. Ishii defeating Jay White to win the title, and then being announced that he is going to be on Dynamite this week. I was kind of surprised at the placement, though, because he's in a tag with Orange Cassidy versus Butcher and Blade. That seems a little low for Ishii, don't you think?
It's a little weird.
Yeah.
And it's not like what you would expect, but I think it's just kind of like what fits in the storyline. You know, the idea is that Orange Cassidy and those guys are now a part of Chaos. So this is like the first thing, and he was beaten down. I mean, you would probably think maybe he would go with Matt Hardy and you know, maybe, you know, win a private party or something. But, you know, it's also, you know, I would think a way to give them a win in the first one, you know, so... I mean, it could be somebody else, but that's what it is. Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be. I think it's the idea is it's you get Ishii on TV and Orange Cassidy, you know, is shown to be part of Chaos, and it's the first match, so it's you know, it's building to something, to stuff bigger, I guess.
And then the last touch on Battle in the Valley here. So Buddy Matthews makes his debut. He gets Okada in the debut. He loses to Okada. That's no surprise. But then Will Ospreay challenges. So whoever wins between Okada and Takagi on January 4th will face Ospreay on January 5th at Wrestle Kingdom. We've got our two main events set, I guess.
Yeah, I was so surprised to see like the Wrestle Kingdom angle in San Jose, although they've done that before. But yeah, it was... It was interesting. I mean, it makes sense. That's why they have all those IWGP belts out there. You got three different guys with IWGP belts, and there's going to be one at the end, you know, whoever it is. I mean, they certainly pushed the idea, if you were watching, that Okada was probably going to beat Takagi. And timing-wise, I would think that, too, because Takagi beat Okada this last year. And then we got, you know, because it was certainly, the angle was Okada and Ospreay.
Yeah, exactly, at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So that completely does make sense of where they're going to go. And hopefully that doesn't hurt the first match there for excitement-wise. Let's talk Full Gear.
They've done that before, though. I mean, you know, when they've done the two-day Tokyo Domes where you kind of
know.
Well, this was stronger, though. This was stronger as far as, like, you know, it wasn't like Takagi's there and all three of, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. He's not in the tag team tournament, so he could have been there. So it is interesting because they could have done that and then had Takagi come out and then done the angle that way.
Yeah, would have left more possibilities there. But, I mean, nonetheless, that's the match that people want to see. So hopefully we get that on January 5th, most likely. Let's talk Full Gear, though. 8 out of 9 four-star matches is what it's looking like right now. At least it's what you mentioned.
Yeah, I think so. I thought so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just give you this time. You were very complimentary to this show, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I thought that from a match quality standpoint, I thought the show was one of the best that you'll ever see. It was just one great match after another, and it was really hard because, you know, when the Young Bucks had that match, I mean, really, when Darby Allin and MJF opened, it was kind of like, how are you going to follow this? And then somehow, because of different styles and everything, pretty much everyone was able to follow, and even the women's match, which was the one match I didn't give 4 stars to, but it was still a very good match. You know, it offered something different, and boy, did they work hard. You know, AEW pay-per-view, everyone's going to work hard.
Yeah.
But there were some, I thought Kenny Omega and Adam Page was an incredible match. It was everything that it needed to be and more. And I would say the same thing for the Jericho match, in the sense of it over-delivered. The Young Bucks match was phenomenal, but up and down the show, I mean, I thought every match was that. Bryan Danielson and Miro was great. You know, like just every, you know, name the match. It was a great match.
So let's go a little bit more in depth with the Hangman and Omega match there. Something that people don't know is Omega's working with he's beaten up. And what's the situation with his shoulders? Because, I mean, it was the time for Hangman to win, but I mean, also with this injury, it was definitely the time.
Well, I mean, he's been hurt for a while. I don't know that there's any new injury. And actually, the last time the last time I asked him about how he was feeling, he said he's been feeling better. But, you know, I mean, it's still, those injuries aren't going away when he's working on them all the time and everything like that. But he definitely, like he had it in his head. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you go in there and you're hurting and it's tough. But because it was Paige, I think, and because they knew it was, like, the, you know, the big match to make Paige and everything, and that was his job. And, boy, did he do a phenomenal job. I thought that he, you know, it was a brilliantly laid out match, a lot of crisscross on spots, execution off the charts. Paige did everything he could. Omega did everything he could. I mean, Omega was out there like, this is a pay-per-view main event. This is a Tokyo Dome main event, and that's what you got. You got that Kenny Omega.
Now, where do you see Hangman heading from here as far as first opponent? I mean, yes, Daniel Bryan got the win yesterday.
Yeah, I figured Bryan Danielson would be first opponent, and probably could be on that Battle of the Belt show January 8th. They may not want to hold it off that long and do something else, but I think that that's probably the time for it. And then I'm going to look at MJF on the pay-per-view. I mean, because he got the win, and they've been protecting him, which is an interesting one because, you know, Paige and MJF. But, you know, I mean, you know, you look at that and you go, like, you got CM Punk, you got Danielson, you got all these different guys. You know, it could go in other directions, but also, like, no matter what you have as the main event on an AEW pay-per-view, and this show was proof of it, it's like, it's the whole card and it's a loaded card. Although, you know, as we all know historically, wrestling does draw from based on the main event.
You mentioned Punk there. Interesting dynamic last night with Punk and the crowd, because the crowd was very much behind Kingston. You know, there was a plan in place, as it looked, to have Jon Moxley turn heel. With this little titch of the crowd not in favor of Punk last night, do you think maybe he takes up that spot and has a heel run?
Well, I think it's too early to do that because the fact is that I don't think anybody was cheered more than Punk, even though Kingston, you know, Punk, there were moments where Punk got booed, but, like, when he came out, he got the biggest pop, the biggest babyface pop.
Right.
And also, when they were doing the dueling chants, the let's go, you know, Kingston, let's go Punk, the Punk chants were much louder than the Kingston chants, but Kingston was never booed, and Punk was booed at certain points, and there was definitely people in the crowd, you know, like, and it was the same thing with Cody, too. I mean, there's people in the crowd who really did, you know, really wanted Eddie Kingston to win, you know, for a lot of reasons. I mean, that article and just a lot of different things. But I think Punk is still more money than Eddie Kingston. You got to go with the money, especially right now. That's why Punk won the match, because, you know, he could have switched finishes, and it would have worked. But, you know, I think that the mentality probably is it's a little bit early to give, you know, I don't think you want to beat Punk or Danielson this early.
Right. Let's flip over to the chaos of WWE. First of all, Von Wagner just showing up on SmackDown. Is he the guy to get Sami Zayn's spot and kind of recreate what they did with him on NXT, popping him into a main event right away?
Man, could be. And way too soon.
Yeah.
Way too soon. You know, he's not even really ready in NXT. But, you know, it's like, they're so looking for that 6'5" blonde guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when business isn't good, and, you know, business actually is good, but there are aspects of business that aren't good, and because of that, I didn't say there are aspects, but you know, there's the perception of it, and they are rebuilding. I mean, they know that the thing is, they know that their roster by and large is too old and they need young guys, so they're going to rush the young guys on there, and they're looking for big guys and looking for good looking guys, and that's their pick. You know, him and Bron Breakker are clearly their picks, but, you know, it's way too early for him, you know, and Bron Breakker too. They give him a year in NXT, and maybe, you know, Cal Bloom maybe even longer, but I think that they look at him and they see WrestleMania main eventer, and, you know, because, and it's just like, it's not, you know, they're still looking at it in that 1980s way. I mean, it's not the 1980s. There's going to be guys, you know, I mean, nobody cares how tall you are anymore. People want to see action and charisma and things like that. And, yeah, he's tall and he's good looking. And if he gets really good, sure. But it's not like, well, he can be a main eventer and some other guy can't be. Because, again, like, two of the most successful characters they had were Punk and Danielson. And they never really fully believed that because they weren't big enough in Vince's mind, but the fact is they were more successful than all of the big guys, including it. You know, Roman Reigns was never as over as Danielson, but he always got pushed far above him.
Yeah, no doubt. They definitely have a body type that they are looking for, and he has that, but we'll see what else he brings to the table. But too soon, definitely the words to be used here. This Survivor Series booking is baffling. Of course, there's infighting on all the teams, but that's nothing new. We've seen that for the past couple of years. Aaliyah's pulled off the team on SmackDown. Seems like parody booking of Dominic Mysterio or Sami Zayn, like everyone's losing one member.
Same idea on both shows. Yeah, we see that a lot too. They announce a card, and then the next week they try to switch up the card or switch up the teams. Which, I mean, it's fine because there hasn't been great hype for certain members of the team, and pulling it off, it's just a storyline thing. I mean, it doesn't bother me, but I think that what bothers me is that here we are, a week away, and we don't have any. What would I say? You don't have any focus, I guess is the right word. On the matches themselves, there's been no really great build for any match on that show.
No, not at all. It's kind of been forgotten. Oh, I mean, the one match that is not even built on TV, but doesn't seem to be forgotten about in the media, with Becky Lynch appearing on a Sports Illustrated podcast this week talking about Charlotte Flair. And when asked if she trusts Charlotte, Becky said no. She said that she and Charlotte used to be best friends, but things are difficult between them now. With all of this happening, listen, we never know what's scripted, what's not, what's real, what's fake. But in this case, do you think WWE can resist from doing a screw job finish at Survivor Series?
Man, they love that.
They do.
I don't think that's the match to do it in. And I think that's so overdone, and I hope that they don't. But I mean, as far as like Becky Lynch saying she doesn't trust Charlotte, I don't buy that at all because you have to trust. I think that the whole thing is, I think something happened, everyone got mad, and, everything got calmed down, because if it wasn't, Charlotte Flair would have been taken off the card, and obviously she wasn't, so I think everything's fine, and now they're just trying to use it to build a match. I mean, I don't think that Becky Lynch's comments that she doesn't trust her, I don't buy that, but... It is the right thing to do to build the match, because that's the lure of the match now, is everyone knows that one thing was sort of real. I mean, some people now think that that was all, like, fake, which it wasn't, but you're using it to build a story after it happened. That's what this is.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. That's only 1 week away. You kind of wouldn't know it from WWE's promotion, but nonetheless, that'll be next week. We'll preview it then. But Dave, you've got a great show that's up with you and Brian sitting face-to-face with one another, which is kind of neat. But what else is coming up in The Observer?
Well, this week we had the big bio. It's up there right now, of Angelo Mosca, which I worked really hard on, and I think it's one of the better stories I've done in a little while. And this coming week, we'll cover the two cards. We'll see what happens during the week. Hopefully I have time to do some business comparisons, but it may be another week before I can do all that because of these, these cards and the fallout of the cards and the preview of the Survivor Series. And God knows what else is going to end up happening.
Yeah, seems to be like that every week. Definitely not a dull moment. That can all be found at WrestlingObserver.com. And Dave, we'll talk to you next Sunday to do a preview of Survivor Series.
Okay, cool. Have a great week.
You too, Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com, as I said, where you can get all of his podcast and the newsletter and all that good stuff. Hey, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come on back. We're going to go back in time, actually, 1 year to Full Gear 2020, and see what two first-timers in Turnbuckle Trivia remember about that show. That is next. It's all coming up. Mark Andrada later, Sunday night's main event.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody has... Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they say there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event, and I love what is about to happen. We have two first-timers that are taking the challenge. They are playing against one another, and one of them is going to get a t-shirt courtesy of ballergear.ca. So with that in mind, let me get them both on the line. First of all, we got Alex, who's in Milwaukee. Alex, what made you take the plunge to jump in to play Turnbuckle Trivia?
I just hope to at least get one question right. So if I can do that, I'm happy.
Well, I mean, we'll see if that gets you the win. We'll find out. I mean, you're playing against another first-timer. That's Chris from the UK. Chris, again, why did you jump in here and decide to play?
I mean, the free stuff for Christmas, obviously.
The free... you know what, Chris? We are happy to give you the gift of regifting. So by all means, if you have another friend that is a Sunday night's main event friend and you play a little Turnbuckle Trivia and you can take that and give it to them as a prize, we have no problem with that at all. So let's see who gets a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Any of our selection is available. It's, of course, five questions each. Alex, you're going first. Chris, you're going second. I'll say it's alphabetical order. So here we go. We're going to go back 1 year ago to Full Gear 2020 and see what you guys remember. Alex, here's your question. Who were the two wrestlers in the main event at last year's Full Gear?
Kingston and Moxley.
That is absolutely correct. Very good. Now, Chris, to you, let's keep with that match. What was the stipulation in that main event?
Was it a submission match?
It was not a submission match. It was an I Quit match, and that is a different way of calling it, so I gotta say no on that one. All right, Alex, back to you. It was on this show 1 year ago that Kenny Omega won the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament final match. Who did he defeat in the final?
The new AEW champion, Hangman.
That is very true. The Hangman's who he beat last year and did not beat this year. Very good, Chris, to you. Now, Matt Hardy faced Sammy Guevara last year at Full Gear. What was the name of the match they had at the Hardy Compound?
I want to say something to do with deletion, but that's the wrong place and the wrong time, so I don't know.
You were very close, because there was deletion, but what you missed was Elite. It was the Elite deletion that they had. All right, over to you, Alex. Now, in that match, Hurricane Helms would show up to assist Hardy, but what former WWE performer showed up to assist Guevara?
I don't even know.
All right, you're buzzed out on that. Gangrel showed up. Gangrel showed up at that one.
Right.
Chris, that opens the door a crack for you. Who did Sheeta defend her women's championship against 1 year ago?
Could it have been Britt Baker?
It could have been, but unfortunately it wasn't. It was Nyla Rose that she defended against. Hey, Alex, if you get this, you have a mathematical win. Who did the Young Bucks defend their tag team championship against?
I don't even know.
It was FTR. It was the love letter to tag team wrestling match. My match of the year last year they had. It was wonderful. So, Chris, over to you. You're still alive. Who walked into their match as the TNT champion on last year's show?
Cody Rhodes?
Yes, he did. Very good. You're on the board. You got one right. And now, Alex, Cody Rhodes defended that title against whom?
Cody Rhodes. Darby Allin.
Darby Allin is correct. You pulled it off. And you didn't just get one right. You got three right, and that means you've mathematically eliminated Chris from the UK. Congratulations, Alex. You've either got a shirt or you've got the gift of regifting, one of the two, from ballergear.ca. Chris, thank you for jumping in. Thank you for playing the game, and I hope to have you back for the tournament, if not before.
Thanks very much, Jason. Well played, Alex.
Well played indeed. And hey, if you want to take part, we've got a few more Turnbuckle Trivia spots that are left before we hit the new year. I got some December spots open. I'd love to have some first timers. So upgrade now to the $6 level, patreon.com/SNMEradio. If you haven't played for a while, you can also message me and let me know you want to jump back into the Shark Tank. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Mark Andrada joins me next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm in the arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Hello, Gordon Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Sunday Night's Main Event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. patreon.com/SNMEradio.
Welcome back. It is Sunday Night's Main Event, and I am now joined by a gentleman that you can hear us talk about wrestling and other things each and every week when we do the midweek markout. Mark Andrada joins me. He's a man that loves an event, and he had one last night, Mark.
Hi. Yes, it certainly was an event last night. Man, what an incredible pay-per-view. What an incredible time.
It's crazy how not only does this, okay, this is actually everything coming together for AEW, because the one bit of criticism that I think a lot of people have had in the past is AEW has this great build and then they get to the pay-per-view and it can't live up to the build because the build is so good. If there was that talk at all last night, put that to rest.
Really? Is that the talk you've been hearing?
A bit.
I feel like the last pay-per-view, All Out, was also an incredible... I thought All Out was a better show, frankly,
really?
By a hair. Yeah, I thought so, yeah. You didn't think so?
The nice thing about it is it's hard to judge, right? Like, they're both so good that it actually becomes hard to judge. But this one, work rate-wise, probably had more. And I think questions coming out of it. I think there's more questions coming out of it, and also big thing that happened. Of course, you know, the championship change is something that's had such a crazy build. We just did trivia on the show, and it was last year that it was Paige versus Omega at this show last year for the championship contender.
Was that this show? That wasn't
this
All Out.
Show.
Wow.
2020, man. Last year, Full Gear. And it was for the Eliminator Tournament Final where Omega defeated Paige. And now, right, 1 year later, they do this. Paige defeats Omega. Long-term booking.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We've known this for a long time. This has been the story of Adam Page is the story of AEW, right? Like, this has been, since the very beginning, it's been what's going to happen. Like, when will Adam Page get this title?
Yeah.
Since the very, very beginning.
Well, yeah, it was him and Jericho, right? It was him and Jericho, that first one. Everyone's like, oh, Paige is going to be your guy. And it's like, no, that's not the right call to start this organization. You got to draw the mainstream eyes. But now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong or you have a different opinion, that was the right call last night.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought it was. And there was part of me that didn't want that to happen, mostly because we have CM Punk now. We have Daniel Bryanson now.
Daniel Bryanson.
It's got to be. JR and I are best buds. Yeah. Good grief.
Did you hear
how many different ways they called him last night?
Well,
now I'm doing it.
I just did it in the Meltzer segment where I called him Daniel Bryan, and Meltzer had to correct me and say, oh, Bryan Danielson. I'm like, oh, man, that's the worst thing you can do. It's the guy's name, and it's just,
switched backwards and a little extra added on. I blame WWE for this, as I do for many things.
I blame Bryan Danielson. I feel like this is his doing. I feel like he's somewhere laughing at us.
Probably. So what's interesting about this as well is, you know, you get the victory of Paige over top of Omega last night, but there's storyline automatically built into this with Matt and Nick Jackson not assisting Omega. And now I'm guessing we see the problems that are going to exist in the Elite.
Yeah, absolutely. But what happens with Paige in the title picture?
Ah, very that good. Means what does that happen?
Bryan Danielson versus, I thought for sure, if Miro had won, then I was like, this all makes sense to me.
Sure.
I can see it all coming. But Bryan Danielson winning, it really changes what is going to happen. Are they going to have two baby faces going against each other? That seems like a wild choice.
Let me throw something out there for you. And Meltzer poo-pooed me on this when I said it, but I'm looking at a crowd last night that, yes, he got a big pop coming out, but also, he's a guy that was booed when he was in there with someone that is loved by the audience. I'm, of course, talking about CM Punk and how much he was booed when Eddie, you know, the crowd was behind Eddie Kingston here. He was both cheered and booed. But the end of that match, it didn't seem like the outcome the crowd wanted. It felt like they were rooting for Eddie. And that match, the end of it, at least, fell flat to me, the decision. Punk, to me, Punk is a guy who, if you do, and I don't know if you do it yet, probably not, but, you know, there is that heel run in him, and Hangman Page loves to drink, and Punk is straight edge.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I feel like the Adam Page loving to drink thing, gimmick, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
aspect to his character, I don't think they're going to emphasize that anymore. He has a kid now, and I feel like they're just going to forget about that. They're just not going to touch it anymore. Because the Young Bucks don't, right? The Young Bucks don't drink. Omega doesn't drink. Like, I feel like this is a little bit of a straight-edge company, and they don't want to celebrate. I may be reading into
it. Well, they were celebrating him pretty hard before the pandemic, having him coming out and, like, sipping from the audience's drinks. It was really what helped put him to the next level.
I agree. But I wonder whether or not they're going to keep doing it. Because he didn't do it tonight, and somebody offered him a drink and he threw it away.
No, but don't you remember the press release that he put out himself at the beginning of the pandemic saying Hangman Page will not be accepting drinks from the crowd anymore due to COVID-19? It was exceptional.
Right.
It was so amazing. And listen, the pandemic hurt Hangman Page maybe more than everybody, at least the character, because he couldn't do that and he kind of had to reinvent himself. But, you know, you're right. Now he is a dad and the crowd is firmly behind him once again. I could just see, I mean, you know, one of my favorite programs of all time was Punk and Jeff Hardy. And I just loved what a dick Punk was being. And it's sourced from his real life character. And I honestly do see a time, and maybe it's not yet, that the crowd is going to have enough of Punk. I mean, to me, this whole cheerleader thing he's doing has a potential to make him put him into the Cody Rhodes world of people not liking him.
Really? You think so, hey?
I think it can.
Wow. I'm curious to see it happen. I mean, I don't doubt that Punk has the skill to be a heel in any environment.
Yes.
But I just... Yeah, I mean, there absolutely the chants were louder for Eddie Kingston last night. And if that match had kept going and Punk had wanted it to happen, you're right. I think he could have been booed.
See, I think that perhaps what was going to happen was that Jon Moxley was going to be the winner of that tournament. Jon Moxley as a heel was going to be the winner of that tournament. And that was going to set up Hangman Page versus Jon Moxley. And right now, they got to figure out what to do without Moxley in the company.
Interesting. See, if that was the case, then I don't understand why they wouldn't have Miro win.
Yeah.
Because even if you went into the match thinking, no, okay, Moxley's out, so let's have Bryan Danielson win. But then in the match, it was very clear, like, Miro was getting a lot of support. There was the dueling Miro chant. That wasn't, let's go Miro, let's go Bryan. It was, let's go Miro, Miro sucks. Both chants were for Miro, right? So
yeah.
I wonder if that was the case, then why didn't somebody jump in the ref's ear and say, let's call this on the fly, let's make an audible, Miro goes over.
Because I think that the more valuable property of the two is Bryan Danielson over Miro.
I guess, but if Miro's star is rising or if people are getting behind him, you need like for Adam Page to defeat Miro, I think would be a great first opponent for him.
And maybe the Moxie situation definitely backed them into a bit of a corner. They had to rejig what they were doing. Here's another name that I'll throw you who led off the pay-per-view last night and could be right there for Hangman, and that's MJF.
Yes, that would be, you're right, that would be incredible. He'd be perfect. He's such a great heel.
Yep.
It's very clear. It's a very clearly defined heel.
Oh, yeah.
There's no, is he, isn't he? Nope, he is.
100%. So... you can roll down the card and go, that was a great match. But that was a great opener last night. And again, the perfect ending, the use of the diamond ring, and then he beats him with the headlock. Exactly what he said he was going to do, except he cheats to do it.
Yeah, it was perfect. The thing I noticed most about this card, and I noticed it after the second match, was the pace with which this show was going.
Mm.
There was no lag between matches. There was no interview. There was no extended, video promo for the next thing. There was no announcement. There was no nothing. It was, this match is over, the next match is starting. That match is over, the next match is starting. And it was just banger after banger. And the first three matches, all the matches were at a level that I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe they were keeping up such a pace. I couldn't believe that the audience was keeping with them. I was exhausted by the Cody Pac match. I was tired already.
Yep.
And I was at home just sitting on my couch. I couldn't imagine being in the arena, not having a bathroom break without missing some match. Like, unreal.
Let's talk about the street fight. Oh, sorry, not the street fight, actually. I mean, that was fine and good. And, Jungle Boy getting the pin there is what we wanted to see. I mean, it's good. They got to be careful with him because he does need to get a win here and there. But sorry, what I wanted to talk about was Jericho, Guevara, the whole Inner Circle crew versus American Top Team. I mean, this was, Men of the Year. I did want to bring this up. Men of the Year have the worst entrance video. Did you notice this? Photos of them hanging out. Still photos. They don't even have footage. And it just says Men of the Year. These guys, I feel bad for them. I feel bad because they're pretty much forgotten in this angle.
Yeah, they are. You're right. But I'm going to have to rewatch that and notice the entrance video. Because the way you describe it sounds like it could work to me.
No.
Just still photos of them like they're in, a magazine. They're the Men of the Year.
Not even. They're just like backstage. They're just like backstage, like standing beside one another. It's like still photos. I don't get it. I didn't understand. I think people got what they wanted out of this, though. I mean, Lambert gets beaten up and pinned by Jericho. Baron Von Raschke at ringside giving Ethan Page the claw. You gotta love that. They're in Minnesota. Makes total sense. Again, treating the older wrestlers with respect. You know what I mean? Like WWE would have had someone give him the claw.
Yes, absolutely. There would be no honoring of the old guard in WWE ever.
Did you notice the spot of when Jericho was going for the lion salt? I believe it was on Lambert, and he jumped on the ropes and he had to yell, "Junior! Junior!" as he stood there on the ropes before Junior Santos came over to punch him in the face.
I feel like that happened a bunch. That was the most obvious one, but I was noticing that a bunch where, Jericho in particular was waiting for people, was looking at people, was calling people over. I mean, that's what you get when you get a bunch of, inexperienced performers in the ring. Of course, you're going to have somebody controlling the crowd. And I mean, I thought Jericho did a good job considering.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the right guy to be in there. Jericho wins this with the frog splash. Now, listen, I know it was anniversary and it was the place where Eddie passed, but man, there was a lot of Eddie dedications on this show. And I actually think it took away from Jericho's win here because we had seen the Lucha Brothers and it was, I think Penta tried to do very poorly, the Three Amigos. CM Punk did the dedication to Eddie as well. So by the time it got here, I think it lost effect, sadly.
Really? I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that at all. I mean, yeah, because it started with, on the pre-show or the buy-in or whatever, Vicky Guerrero came out and people were chanting for Eddie.
Sure.
And you know what? I didn't realize that was where they were and that was the date until partway through the Lucha Brothers match. because I was like, that's a lot. There's a lot of Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I looked it up and I said, oh, that's why. Yeah. I see what's going on. So when I knew that, none of it bothered me anymore. Not that it ever was going to bother me. I was just kind of sort of weirded out by how much Eddie Guerrero there was.
Yeah.
And then you realize why. And Jericho, I thought it was a nice build because there were these nods all the way through, but Jericho was the one who knew him. Yep. Best and yep. And you know, there was a real connection there, and so for Jericho to win with the frog splash and then have that whole moment, I mean, he did check to see if the camera was on him before he did it, which I noticed, but I mean, still, he looked up to this guy and was, you know, tearing up a bit and was like, you know, this one's for you, Eddie. He made the biggest, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but he's made the biggest meal of it. It seemed like it meant the most to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that build, it didn't lose its effect for me because it felt like it was more than everybody else.
Jay Lethal showed up last night making his debut in AEW. They gave a bit of an ode to the Black Machismo character with the Macho Man music, which was good, but I'm glad they dropped it there. And I don't even know if that music is going to come back. We shall see. Because I'm glad he didn't launch into that character. I think that this is a great guy for Sammy Guevara to go over.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It's perfect for just that.
And then I don't know what happens to him after that. I mean, sure, he's of value, but there's a lot of guys of value in this company. You know, we just talked about Paige and Scorpio Sky, and those guys fall into the exact same category I would toss Jay Lethal into. But, you know, I will say I would have said that same thing about Bobby Fish, and Bobby Fish is everywhere all of a sudden.
Yeah, having great matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more excited about Bobby Fish than I am for Jay Lethal, but, you know, hopefully I'm just wrong about that.
All right. Well, I think everybody can agree it was a good pay-per-view last night. I know a lot of people got up and watched it this morning because it did run very late. I do think they got to be careful about that, but hey, but that's just me calling things, things are too long. You know what's going to feel too long, though, Mark, is next week's Survivor Series.
you think that's going to feel long? I can't wait for that show. I think it's going to be
get out of here.
5-star match after 5-star match. They'll close with a 7-star match. It'll be great.
So let's take a look at some of the build here. We don't often get to talk about SmackDown, Mark, because we're the Raw guys on Tuesday mornings.
How lucky for us.
The Survivor Series teams are all pitted against one another. This is what I would call losing the plot.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. Survivor Series, it was my second favorite event when I was a kid.
Yeah, you've said that.
Oh, man, I used to love it. I used to play with my wrestling figures and make up Survivor Series. Royal Rumble, then Survivor Series. And they went away from the traditional elimination format for a while. I guess it can get tiresome if you do it. But now bringing it back. And they've had it back for the last few years. Man, the brand split is just the worst thing they can do. Because it is, you know, we talk about the fact that sometimes we joke that they do the same angles on Raw and SmackDown. And then I think you made the comment last week that now they're starting to do the same angles on the same show. And we literally saw that this week on SmackDown. First of all, on Raw, Mysterio's pulled out of the team. And we have Lashley tossed in. And then on SmackDown, Zayn has pulled off the team. We don't know who's going to be in there, but it's probably going to be Von Wagner. And then on top of that, Aliyah's pulled off the team, and we don't know who's going to be in there. The same angle, 3 times on 2 shows in 1 week. 3-2-1.
Did you see that Aliyah threw up in the ring?
Yes, I did.
What the heck was that?
I guess she was very nervous, or she could have got hit the wrong way, but I guess she was very nervous. That's her first on TV SmackDown match.
I suppose.
Maybe she was sick.
Yeah, I don't relate to throwing up out of nervousness, I think. I hope she's okay. I hope she's not sick. That would be awful for her.
Yeah, I mean, she could have been sick and gutted it through. Like, we don't know. I don't think she's made a statement about it or anything like that. But yeah, people slow-mo'd it, and she did throw up. Right after the match while they were sort of celebrating and she was unable to celebrate. So, I mean, hopefully she's doing okay, but she won't be able to throw up at Survivor Series because she's not on the team.
Well, I mean, it's again, it's exactly what we were talking about. It's the same thing over and over and over again. I don't know. I'm having a hard time looking forward to it, but you know me, I love an event, so I will look forward to it. I'm bound and determined to look forward to it.
I just want to touch on Charlotte's promo on SmackDown. The whole uh-oh thing she started to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming her, because I don't think that Charlotte Flair comes up with a promo that prompts the audience to say uh-oh after everything she says. I mean, we're up here in Canada, and uh-oh to me is a show that used to be on YTV. what was it? Wink something or other? Wink Yahoo was the host of that before my YTV days.
That was my friend Scott Yaffe.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this
married to Jessica Holmes.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about random Canadian people that Canadian no one celebrity. Know about. Yeah. this was so bad. And then randomly, Toni Storm challenges. This is the same thing that happened with Liv Morgan on Raw for Becky.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess, just, yeah, I don't even
ahead,
know. I don't even know, Mark. Well, I mean, what can you say about this? What do you got with me on this? With Toni Storm appearing out of nowhere all of a sudden?
Do they just think that if somebody watches SmackDown, they don't watch Raw? And vice versa.
Seems like.
Because that's what it must be, right?
Yeah.
That must be their outlook. They're like, oh, this was on the other show. People don't watch both. What? It's maddening that we watch the same thing over and over again. Like, are they trying to drive us crazy? Is that what the goal is here? I can't get behind it.
Along with that, I think the more curious thing that they're doing here, let's get Liv Morgan out of the way, get Toni Storm out of the way. Becky Lynch appears on a Sports Illustrated podcast, and I mentioned this to Meltzer. When asks if she trusts Charlotte, Lynch says no. Lynch says she and Charlotte used to be best friends, but things are difficult between them now. So a couple things here. There's obviously, they're pulling away the intrigue of what did happen in that promo where they were dropping the titles a few weeks ago. And seeing where that can take them. Maybe they're just playing that up. But I don't really know what they do with this match. Like, there can be no winner in this match. I think that this has a no decision, I guess, next week. And then down the line, they come back to it. Or they don't. It's WWE. Who knows?
Right. Maybe this just turns into a big slugfest and they're both, you know, bloodied and beaten. And yeah, exactly. It turns into a no decision. It's the only thing I can think of, too. And then you move on to whoever's challenging next, Toni Storm and Liv Morgan, I guess?
I guess so. And my big question to Meltzer, because we already saw the one bit of Survivor Series history we have seen, and it happened on Raw this week, where they decided to promote Survivor Series, the place where Bret Hart got screwed. And that is how they've pushed it. Do you think that that is any sort of indication that next week we see a screw job?
Yes. They can't leave that screw job alone.
They can't.
Yes. Yeah.
So
it makes, yeah, I could see them screwing Becky over and, one of the general managers of Raw or whoever they are, whatever their title is now, ends up screwing them over and that turns into the feud. I could see that happening.
Oh, boy. Well, there's something to look forward to, friends. Survivor Series. Next week.
How about this for a dream? Eventually, Toni Storm wins the title and Liv Morgan wins the title, and then Charlotte and Becky don't need the titles, and they can just scrap it out like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Handsome Harley Race.
Oh, boy. You mean the King. You mean the King.
The King Harley Race. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he had to be called the King there. I mean, technically they probably don't need the titles, but then again, the titles also don't mean anything and feuds don't mean anything. Man, it's such a hard company to get behind. They just make it so difficult to get behind it. We will be talking about it, though, and we'll be doing the after party next week. If you want to get in on the after party, it's myself, Dan Lavransky, Mark Andrada behind the keyboard, doing all the fun stuff, and we'll be talking about it live immediately following Survivor Series next week. So if you're listening now on the radio or via the free podcast, you guys will get a show that is a preview, and then if you want the review show, then sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio. Mark, if nothing else, next Sunday is an event.
Oh, it's going to be a fun one. We like to complain, and WWE feels that need in our lives to complain about something.
They do very much so. Hey, you and I will be complaining on Tuesday morning for the midweek markout, so be sure to catch that on the Patreon, and we'll be back here next Sunday night for Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother!